conclusion inevitable.
It was a jump to conclusions, Matt.
My conclusion was that this idea was not a practical deterrent.
My only conclusion can be that it was a Sith Lord.
In conclusion.
Hello there, folks. Welcome back to In Conclusion, the only movie podcast that keeps that fang on them. And that fang, to quote Anna Otto, literally 10 seconds ago, is deodorant. I'm Dan O'Keefe, mm-hmm. And joining me as always is the aforementioned Anna Otto. Anna, how are your pits? Are they sweaty?
No, Dan. And also, I'd like you to always refer to me as the never going to be stinky Anna Otto, because if I'm caught without my deodorant, I'm dead, honestly.
The never going to be caught publicly stinky.
True.
In private?
True.
Open the doors, open the windows.
I might stink in my own home. Mm-hmm. How about you, Dan? You keep that deodorant thing on
you? I have the issue where my wife and I use the same kind of deodorant, and when she is running low or does not have the stick of deodorant in close proximity to her and she needs it, she'll just use mine.
No. That gives me the ick so bad.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I'm not in favor of this. I've never been like, we should share deodorant. It's like, oh boy, we should share a toothbrush. No, it's mine.
No.
Stop taking it. It goes on my pits.
I'm going to be real with you. Yes, I'm going to be real with you. My work deodorant is actually not my preferred kind. It is an aerosol, so that if any of the other girlies need some, I can hook them up, you know?
I think you're really missing an opportunity to differentiate the two as your business deodorant and your pleasure deodorant.
It's true. If you catch me smelling like peaches, it's because I am in business mode, okay?
Remember, kids, peaches giving them the business.
Hey, whoa, wait. Wait.
If you catch me smelling like bear gloves.
Oh, is that the scent you use? You're an Old Spice? Old Spice boy?
Correct. And so is my wife. She's also an Old Spice boy.
She should be. And she should be. If men's scents didn't make my eyes itch, I'd be right there with you.
If I wasn't in physical pain by how you smell, I'd be a big fan.
If the mere scent of a man didn't give me an excruciating migraine.
Well, that's what's great about movies. And specifically the movie that we're talking about today. Because with this one, you don't have to smell him at all, but boy, do you get to see him.
Dan, go on.
I want to read.
We have things to
say. I need to read Anna's text that she sent me yesterday as she was watching the movie.
They were so feral.
They were so feral.
I tried to not text you. I wanted to text you 5 more times, but I was like, I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. I better chill.
Yesterday, no context beforehand, Matt Damon's pasty little body in this movie with the glasses? IDK if it beats the sweater in the Bourne movies, but drooling emoji.
I did see the Dunkin's commercial before I joined you today, and you know what? He's still fine.
Follow up that text.
He's still fine.
Truly, I am no better than a man. And I said, oh, if you like sweaters, just wait. And then follow up, Miss Goop looks the same, LMAO. Unfortunately, not about a man.
Sorry, that is about Gwyneth, your best friend.
And then Matt Damon could really get the business for real.
Respectfully, I'm no better than a man.
Dan, this is all caps. Dan, this movie has me yelling. I assume it's supposed to be yelling, but you are in such a feral state that you couldn't be bothered to type the word correctly.
That part was not about Matt Damon. That part was about Jude Law. Okay. So just to be very clear with you right now. Anyway, whew. What a trip down memory lane.
What a trip down these boys. I want to go down their memory lane.
And Goop. Ms. Goop.
Okay, you didn't
it's
even
so
mention...
It's so crazy because...
The real female star of the show. Cate Blanchett's 3 scenes.
I literally didn't even recognize her. Gage was like, do you know who that is? I was like, a white woman? And he's like, it's Cate Blanchett. I was like, I thought she was old. And he's like, Anna, she was young once.
She looks the same.
And I was like, I think it's because I always think of her. I think I confuse her with someone.
Lydia Tarr, probably. Ooh. They look really similar.
No, I think it might be Judy. No, it's not Judy Dench. It's some other...
Helen Mirren?
It's some other, like, really... Yes, it's Helen Mirren!
Helen Mirren is 30-something years older than her.
Sorry, Cate Blanchett. Let me look her up. Okay, let me do a Goog. Wasn't Cate Blanchett in Lord of the Rings?
Yes. She was Galadriel, I think, is her character's name. I don't know.
She's an elf.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I never seen this woman in my life.
What?
Are you sure?
She's because in Thor Ragnarok.
Sure. I actually haven't seen that one yet.
Okay, that was going to be my one thrown out one that I was like, surely she's seen this one.
No. Yeah, I never seen this woman in my life.
Okay, brief run through of Cate Blanchett's filmography.
Yeah, I'm looking at all of her movies right now.
The Aviator?
Mm-mm. I saw Ponyo.
Okay.
But she was just a voice in that.
Nightmare Alley?
I don't know that one. I don't know what to tell you. We're working. Oh, I saw The School for Good and Evil, but I still definitely thought that that was Helen Mirren.
Did you
see? And Cate Blanchett. They confused
did
me.
Did you see the live action Cinderella?
I did not.
Welp.
Anyway, moving on.
Never moving on. Hot Fuzz. She has a cameo in Hot Fuzz. I know you've seen it because we talked about it on the podcast.
I did see it, yes.
I don't remember her in that either, honestly. Many moons ago. Okay, anyway, the movie we're talking about today is Tar, starring Cate Blanchett.
No! Oh, Lord!
Hey, when we talk about Tar, I'm going to be so insufferable.
That's your Joker.
Yes, it is. Episode 200. Yeah, episode Tar 100.
Oh, God damn.
Put it on the board.
We can do it, I guess.
Talented Mr. Crying. Ripley, released in 1999, written and directed by Anthony Minghella, based on The Talented Mr. Ripley by Patricia Highsmith.
Okay, slay, book by a woman.
Starring Matt Damon, Matt Damon's pasty little body, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Mortified Jude Law, that I even said that to you.
Cate Blanchett, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Jack Davenport, James Rebhorn, Sergio Rubini, and Philip Baker Hall. Released.
Sorry, I'm just still thinking about Matt Damon.
Released on Christmas Day, 1999. With a budget of $40 million, it made $128.8 million at the box office. And on Rotten Tomatoes, it has an 85% approval rating.
Okay, okay. This movie walked so Saltburn could run. Let's just get it out there.
Let's throw you in the ocean and boat away. With Matt Damon's unsettling performance offering a darkly twisted counterpoint to Anthony Minghella's glossy direction, The Talented Mr. Ripley is a suspense thriller that lingers.
They really used a lot of mirrors in this movie. I'll start there, too.
Hey, you know what they say? You know what specifically Jaden Smith says?
What?
How can mirrors be real if our eyes aren't real?
What?
That is a tweet from him like 10 years ago.
He was definitely high when he said that, right?
He tweeted it, so right? I don't even know if he ever said it out loud. Then he followed it up with the hashtag Cool Tape Volume 2.
He was definitely high.
This was nominated for 5 Academy Awards. It did not win any. It was nominated for Best Costume Design, Best Art Direction, Best Original Score, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Supporting Actor for Jude Law.
What? They didn't give Matty D a nom?
They didn't. The nominees for Best Actor that year were Denzel Washington in The Hurricane, Sean Penn in Sweet and Lowdown, Richard Farnsworth in The Straight Story, Russell Crowe in The Insider, and America's sweetheart Kevin Spacey in American Beauty.
What the F? Listen, I'm seeing, apparently Minnie Driver just dropped an article about what she'd tell her younger self after the split with Matt Damon.
Uh-huh.
I think I would have been ruined. if that man dumped me, I think I would have been ruined. It would have been done. I would have never talked to another man again, and I would have moved to the woods.
Yeah, I don't know what... How do you move on from that?
It would have been done. I would have been cooked. I slapped the microphone. Sorry.
It's worth it.
I would have become an old mountain witch that just curses all men. It would have been over for me. And not even to mention that his wife is so Gorgina too. Like, it's just done. Mm-hmm. It's done.
Yeah.
It's over. Anyway, sorry. I'll try to control myself. I'm no better than a man.
You're good. At the Oscars, it lost costume design to Topsy Turvy.
What is that?
Yep. It lost best original score to The Red Violin.
You know how I feel about violins. I have one in here somewhere in my messy room.
Best adapted screenplay, Anthony Minghella lost that to The Cider House Rules, which is a movie with...
I have never heard of any of these dang movies.
Okay, you have heard one thing from The Cider House Rules, and it is the music in a Pure Michigan ad, because...
Shut up.
The do-do-do-do-do-do, that is from the soundtrack of The Cider House Rules.
Oh, does it take place in Michigan?
No, it does not. It is about a underground abortion clinic in World War II era Maine.
I'm back interested.
Right? Starring Tobey Maguire
you
and Charlize Theron.
World War II.
And Paul Rudd.
Wow. Wow. I'm interested in the state of Maine. That's all I have to say.
And Jude Law lost Best Supporting Actor to Michael Caine in The Cider House Rules.
Oh, Michael Caine. Understandable.
I assume, based on your texts, this was the first time you saw the movie.
This was the first time I saw this movie. First of all, I just want to say, when Philip Seymour Hoffman passed away,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know who he was. And now that we've done this podcast, I feel like I've seen him in so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they've all necessarily been watching movies for this. Just in general, I've seen him in so many more things. And I'm like, oh yeah, he was a good actor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean that like in a mean way. I didn't know him. I didn't see like any of his movies. I had no interest in Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. So he kind of was out of my realm.
That's your on-ramp. You know, he's like such a talented actor, but I had no interest in Hunger Games.
I didn't know him from anything else. Everyone was so sad when he died, and I was like, it's tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, yeah, dang, he was very talented.
Yes.
That's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The talented Mr. Hoffman.
Truly.
His entrance in this movie.
Iconic.
One of the best character introduction lines ever.
I hated him and I loved him at the same time. I loved him as a character. I hated him as a person. Does that make sense?
You loved watching him as a character.
Yeah. You hated like if what I saw that was. A man like that. Yes. If I saw a man like that on the street, beef immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But as a character, sensational. Anyway.
I saw this for the first time on TV at some point. This was one of those movies that was like always on AMC or ABC Family or something.
Oh, I was like, what? ABC Family?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
You're kidding. With the amount of Tookuses I saw? I don't think so.
It was the TV version, so you didn't see any Tookus. You didn't see Jude Law's
any
little
pee-pees.
Barrister.
I screeched. That's when I texted you the final text. I literally screamed to Gage.
So
and
you
he's
weren't
like, what?
Saying... This movie has me yelling. You were doing a combination of yelling and schlong. This movie has me yellong.
I was not trying to, but apparently my brain was so distracted by what I had just seen that, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I was flabbergasted. Well, also because... I don't want to talk about it. I want to wait till we get to it. We should just dive in because I have so much to say.
Okay.
Also, I need to know. I know this is probably trivia for the end, but I need to know.
Yes.
Was that Matt Damon actually playing piano?
I think so.
Oh my God, sensational.
I haven't seen anything that says otherwise.
Wow. Okay.
Anna needs a minute. She has to go.
He's
fan
cute.
Herself.
Listen, he's kind of a problematic fave because I know he's like he did those commercials for a while about Bitcoin.
Eh. Get hired to do a commercial. Get that money.
He needed the money for his water charity.
Yes.
I remember that. I know we talked about this. Because something had happened, so he did it because he was raising money for his charity. But I can't remember what happened. I also, you know, one of my favorite things about Matt Damon that I always think of, I'm not a Jimmy Kimmel fan, but I always think about his fake beef with Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready now. That's everything I have to say.
I do want to point out, this is coming off of a hot, this is maybe the last in a super hot streak for Matt Damon, where in the previous 2 years, he is in Chasing Amy, which is a hit. The Rainmaker, which is a movie that I've heard about, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. And then Goodwill Hunting, which he wins an Oscar for. Saving Private Ryan,
yes.
Where he is Private Ryan.
Oh. That movie was a lot, but when he was on the screen, sensational.
Rounders, a poker movie that I love.
I don't think I'd enjoy that, respectfully.
Probably not. And then Dogma, where he and Ben Affleck play two fallen angels.
What?
The story revolves around two fallen angels who plan to employ an alleged loophole in Catholic dogma to return to heaven after being cast out by God.
Oh my God, I love movies that are like weirdly about Catholicism.
And then this movie, The Talented Mr. Ripley.
I was just shook, shocked, flabbergasted.
Shook, shock, and shank.
Okay, before we start, do you think that Tom Ripley is a bisexual?
No.
Oh, I do.
I don't.
Go on. Okay.
I think.
You think he was faking?
No, I think he's just gay.
I thought he was gay too, but then I wasn't sure. And then Gage is like, maybe he's bisexual. And that's what I rested on.
Well, I think that considering how he is so manipulative the entire time, and he's always putting on an act, I think that any interest that he feigns in, the only time you ever see him interested in a woman is to make a man jealous.
True.
So that's my takeaway.
I'll have to think some more.
But anyway.
Anyway.
It's 1958, and Tom Ripley is in New York City. He's playing piano. He's...
Oh, my God.
Working gigs. He is so fucking white.
We're not going to unpack that, okay? Yes, he is very white. He lives in New York. It's cloudy.
Well, that and also he... So... I'll do the intro short. He gets hired by a rich dude, Herbert Greenleaf, to bring his son back from Italy because Tom Ripley has convinced his father that he was a classmate of his at Princeton.
Yeah.
Dickie is a partier.
A socialite. To say the least. He could be worse, though. We didn't see him doing any drugs.
No. He's just kind of a himbo.
Yeah, he's a himbo who just has no direction, I would say.
He has one direction. It's wherever his dick takes him.
True.
But I say he's so white because he has to study jazz albums before going over there because he doesn't know music.
We all have our passions. His is playing piano and doing no other music interests at all, ever.
And imitating people.
Yeah, which was weird. I didn't like that part because it was uncomfortable.
What, his spot-on imitation of his father? Of Dickie's father?
It was creepy. It was creepy.
So he does go over to Italy, and as he is on the boat, he pretends that he is Dickie. Actually, when he's in the terminal, he pretends that he's Dickie, where... Just to do so. And he runs into Meredith Logue, played by Lydia Tarr.
Go on.
A socialite. A rich woman. Obviously, she'll not come up again in this movie.
Never.
Never. That won't lead to the unraveling of his plans. But he makes it to the village of Mongibello, where Dickie and his girlfriend, Marge Sherwood, played by...
That name is Ms. Goop herself.
I can't think of her name right now. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow!
Yeah.
Ms. Goop!
I was just thinking of Jade Egg. Or Vagina Candle.
I know her Vagina Candle, but you have a Goop water bottle. You're her best
friend. I don't have a Goop water bottle.
What happened to it?
My degenerate wife has a Goop water bottle.
Oh, okay.
I only call her a degenerate because she keeps stealing my deodorant.
And your Goop water bottles.
I think actually we got rid of it because it was too small for me. I need my water bottles big because I'm thirsty.
Yeah. What does Gage call his?
Big Bertha.
He calls it the Glug Jug.
Jesus.
He's got a 64-ounce water bottle. He calls it the Glug Jug.
I hate that. Enough with the onomatopoeias. speaking of thirsty for the Glug Jug, Matt Damon is for Dickie. He is immediately thirsting. Basically, immediately thirsting over him.
I mean, how could you not? Jude Law in this movie is a sumptuous feast for the eyes.
This is a point that my brother has made to me. You know, just totally normal dude talk.
Yes.
He has said...
I hope you know, by the way, I'm Googling pictures of these actors while we talk about them.
Jude Law in this movie is maybe the most attractive man has ever looked in anything ever.
He looked shockingly good. He looked so good. And also his outfit that he was wearing. Men today, I'm pretty sure, would absolutely throw themselves to get that outfit.
Oh my God, like the linen shirt that he's got half open and his big pants. Are you kidding me? Incredible.
I was like, he's serving look after look. There's nothing that can be done here.
The sluttiest way a man can dress is like they're on vacation in Italy in the early 60s.
Oh my God, he looked so good. He looked so good.
He did.
And, you know, I'm looking at the images as we speak. This cast had no right to be so attractive. And yet...
They are so attractive. This is such a hot movie.
This is hot people privilege. All of them are so sexy. And it makes me mad. Even the supporting characters. Everyone's beautiful.
Yes.
Anyway.
I do think this brings up a point that I've mentioned previously, where there are a lot of movies now where everybody is beautiful, but there's absolutely zero, hint of sexuality or anything going on with them. I think the reason everybody comes off A, as so beautiful, and B, as even more beautiful than that is because there is the sexuality element in this, where it's like these aren't just beautiful mannequins.
Oh, they're horny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's in Italy. Some might say the horniest country.
Maybe.
From an American perspective looking in.
I don't know. A lot of people have been taking their honeymoons to Greece lately.
Yeah.
Heard Greece is pretty sexy.
Greece.
I don't know.
The only Greece I care about is the one where they tell me more.
All right, Dan.
The letterbox description for Greece is just, he was in Greece. What does that mean?
I don't know.
What are they doing?
This is why AI will never fully take over the world.
I think, though, this is why it would, because that was a human who did that.
I think it might have been AI.
Yeah. Allen Iverson. Fresh off his basketball career, writing movie descriptions.
Wonderful.
Whenever people talk about AI, at first I picture it as professional basketball player Allen Iverson.
Oh my God. Sorry, my little gasp, by the way, was because while looking at pictures of this beautiful cast, found a picture of Matt Damon's pasty little body on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Do you need a minute?
Anyway. No, I'm good.
Need
I'm
a
ready
fan?
To carry on. He was 29 when this movie came out, so he's the same age that I was. Or wait, that came out the wrong way.
What?
He was the same age that I am.
Yes.
When this movie came out, which is crazy.
In what way?
I don't know, that he looks like such a baby. And I guess sometimes I forget that I also have a baby face.
I agree. I think, I mean, Matt Damon, up until like his hair started to gray, basically always played younger.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say was always handsome, and I was about to throw a fist, because don't talk to me. The Dunkings are everything. And I don't even really care for Dunkin' Donuts.
Hey, I saw Oppenheimer. Don't worry. I'm still in on the Matt Damon train.
I did not see Oppenheimer, because I was sure it would be too much for me.
Probably. That's why next week we're talking about all of Oppenheimer. All 3.5 hours of it. Followed that with Killers of the Flower Moon, and then Babylon again.
I'm not strong enough.
So, Dickie and Tom have an extravagant lifestyle together. They go out to the jazz clubs. They party. They dance. They hang out. They're having a great old time spending daddy's money.
My dream.
They also
not having a care in the world.
They also get introduced to Dickie's friend, Freddie Miles, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, who enters the scene, hopping out of a convertible, walking past a beautiful woman and going, ugh, don't you just want to fuck everything that you see once?
I literally said to Gage, that line is so good.
It's so good.
For introducing a character who's supposed to be kind of a douche, that is such a good line.
I saw this in theaters, like they did a screening of it last year.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Did you say really when you were like 3 years old?
Yes, I saw this
1 year old
when I was just before my second birthday.
Yes.
No, but I saw it in theaters recently. That line, huge reaction.
Yeah, because it's a good ass line.
Laughter, cheering. Running up and down the aisle.
I would have been like, cut the film. I've seen enough. This is amazing.
So, Freddy doesn't like Tom. He sees there's something wrong with him. He knows he's a poser.
I mean, he's got a good understanding, I would say.
And Dickie goes on a trip to Rome. And when he comes back, what does he see? He sees Matt Damon dancing in his clothes in front of a mirror.
But only his top half of clothes. The bottom half, he's just in his underwear, not that I noticed.
Ignoring the head, if you had to pick between the top half of Matt Damon's body and the bottom half of Matt Damon's body, torso or legs?
Top. He had beautiful abs. Beautiful abs.
He did.
I'm not even an ab girly. He just looked like a nice little huggable fellow.
He looked like a very... He looked like a nice old piece of candy.
Ooh.
A little bit of,
Dan.
A little bit of white chocolate.
Hope Matt Damon doesn't hear this. He'd be like, this is wild.
I hope he does. Hello, Matt Damon. Hello, 29-year-old Matt Damon. I assume this is him of the time here.
Oh, we're
this.
Traveling back in time? Yeah. I feel like the idea of a podcast would scare the 90s, but I guess we could try.
Dickie also takes a bath at one point, and Tom is in there playing chess with him.
The way I was sweating, I was so scared that I was going to see some salt burn activities. Mm-hmm. I literally thought to myself, I'm not emotionally prepared for this right now. I just ate a pork chop, and it has not settled. I can't do this.
This scene is, I am certain, what inspired the scene in Saltburn.
Mm-hmm.
It is, what if we took the scene another step? Or five.
Yeah, they took it more than one step. It was about approximately 100.
And we will talk about
105
that.
Steps. Looking forward to it, I guess.
But Dickie, he starts to get the feeling that Tom is creeping on him. He's getting tired of him. Dickie runs through friends like he runs
gives
through
him
women.
A show.
Speaking of which, he gets a woman pregnant.
Wait, Dan, you didn't mention that there is some tantalizing action in the bathtub scene, like we said.
Sorry, yes. Tantalizing action.
No, it's okay. I really thought they were going to kiss or something. I really did. And you didn't?
No, I did. Tom Ripley thought they were going to kiss, too.
When he stuck his little fingers in the water, I screamed. I clutched my pearls, and I screamed a second time. Okay,
that feels
now I'm ready
so sensual. Not touching.
It did. It felt intimate.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he stuck his little fingers in the water and splashed it around. I wanted to call the police on a movie from the 90s.
The morality police.
Yeah. I want to say, Tom Ripley, the police are on their way.
So, Dickie gets a woman pregnant and then ignores her. She tries to get his attention.
Classic.
So, she drowns herself.
That was rough. That was a hard watch. Especially because she did it at a very public event, right? Like,
yeah,
like
it was some cultural event thing going on.
It was. I thought it was a religious thing.
Yeah. I don't know what it was.
It was like some sort of religious cultural festival.
Town
thing,
event,
I would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they find her body.
And they were all in the water.
It's a very intense scene for a movie that is not very intense.
Yeah, I think it was really hard to watch because there was that one woman who was like screaming, and she runs out into the water. And like, obviously, I didn't know if it was her mom or her sister or whatever, but that was definitely like a loved one. And it was just so hard to watch. I just, oh my God, that one was tough. Hard watch.
So Tom promises to Dickie that he will keep it a secret. Now he's got something on him. Tom's got power.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got even more power when Dickie's dad cuts off the money so they can't go to Venice. And he's like, I'm tired of you. We should break up. But let's go to San Remo.
Mm-hmm.
Love doing
that.
To be
honest and to be fair for Tom, Dickie keeps leading him on by like taking him to do shit.
That's true. He's like, I'm tired of you. Shall we go skiing? I'm tired of you. Let's go to the jazz club. Listen to these records.
Yeah. Like, does he think somebody else is going to just take him off his hand? I don't know. Something about it feels off to me.
I think he kind of sees him like a dog. Like, he feels guilty about abandoning him.
I've never felt guilty. Well, I do feel guilty. I'm going on vacation tomorrow, and I will be crying as soon as I leave Jester behind.
So the
But it's because I love her, not because I dislike her.
Be crying. I don't know anybody who cries when they leave someone they dislike. It's more like a sigh of relief. Fair. It's tears of relief.
Thank God.
They're on a little boat in the middle of the water. It is beautiful. I need to point
it
out
beautiful.
Everything in this movie is beautiful. It's
Italy
in the 60s, so that's beautiful on its own. The way it's shot... gorgeous. The people, gorgeous. The outfits, gorgeous.
Yeah. I just like all the shots. Their use of like unique angles. Like, there's so many shots of scenes. Like the scene in a window, like they're in the reflection of the window. The scene in a mirror, they're in the reflection in the mirror. Things like that. It's just very unique. I feel like I haven't seen anything that utilizes that much space in that way.
It feels like you're watching something you're not supposed to be watching.
Yep.
Like, you're peering around a corner or looking through another window.
Mm-hmm.
This cinematographer who did Talented Mr. Ripley, he also did Dead Poets Society.
Well, well, well.
He also did The English Patient.
I never saw that one. Heard that one's really long.
He did Mad Max Fury Road.
Don't really know anything about Mad Max, besides the cars.
He did the first Harry Potter movie.
Okay.
Rain Man.
Never seen it, but I'm familiar with it.
A movie from 1983 called BMX Bandits.
That sounds horrific.
And other movies, too. Cold Mountain, Spanglish, Poseidon.
Mm.
The... Jake Gyllenhaal Prince of Persia movie.
Oh my God, throw it in the trash.
So they're out on this boat. Again, Dickie is like, I'm tired of you. He's going to marry Marge, the aforementioned Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, I feel bad for her in this movie. I said to Gage, I was actually shocked. I was like, I forgot that Gwyneth Paltrow is actually a pretty decent actress.
Yeah, right? Academy Award winner Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, I was like, oops, I forgot she's not just crazy selling candles that smell like her vagina. My bad.
Well, it's that, and then anything that she's been doing in, like, Glee or the Marvel movies, she's barely acting there.
I can't believe you just brought up her Glee stint. Oh, my God. Cringe.
Holly Holiday in Glee.
Oh, my God. And she sings the famed CeeLo Green song, Forget You.
Tom swears that they have feeling for each other. Tom is like, no, you're into me. I'm into you. You're just afraid of it. They get in a tussle. They get in a fight. I'm sweating. Get me off this boat.
Hard watch. I was ducking, honestly.
Tom swings an oar and kills Dickie.
The scream I scrumped, to be honest with you. That cut was fucking brutal, man.
Yeah, right? Whatever they did for the prosthetics for the, like, injury on his head.
Horrifying.
Terminator-ish.
Yeah, it was really scary and gross. Like, when the blood wasn't coming and then all of a sudden it just was like an open pore. That'll haunt me for years to come.
With the yin of pasty buff Matt Damon comes the yang of the pouring blood out of Jude Law's head.
Honestly traumatizing.
So he dumps Dickie and then he takes his belongings, scuttles the boat, but then he realizes, oh, wait a second. People think that I'm him. I know what I'll do. I'll be him. Aside from Marge and Freddy, no one else knows that I'm not him.
This is where it got messy.
He's a messy bitch.
Truly.
He's a sassy little messy bitch.
Skinny, pasty little sassy messy bitch.
So he writes a letter to Marge saying that, you know what? Sorry, Marge. Dickie's gone. He's moved to Rome. Peace out, Girl Scout.
He gives her the perfume. I was crying.
Right. And then...
yeah.
His plan... He goes to Rome and he's like, oh, how do I cover this up? I know. I'll check into two different hotels. One is me.
But...
one is Dickie.
I was just going to say, honestly, Marge kind of dodged a bullet, though, because if he was cheating on her while they were dating, he sure as hell was going to cheat on her when they got married. So,
that's true.
Best.
But she would have had the money,
died,
at
that
least.
They broke up. I guess, but at what cost? He still sucked.
I guess that's what I always wonder. If you're with somebody and you know that they cheat and they know that they will likely keep cheating, but you stay with them, do you do it out of delusion? Or do you do it out of being fine with it?
I guess, like, now this is not how I would actually react, so take this with a grain of salt. But I guess my thought is, like, so are you just going to, like, open the marriage and just stay for the tax write-offs?
Yeah, right?
I personally could never. I would have a full meltdown. But that's just me. You know, a meltdown a day keeps nothing.
The
away.
Therapist gets paid.
Therapist. Yeah, literally.
And then he starts writing letters to himself as both Dickie and Tom, so they have evidence that they're communicating with each other. And forging checks, baby, using Dickie's allowances. So he gets to live
I would never be able to create, like, a scheme like this because I just would be so tired. I'd be like, do I have to write myself another letter today? Ugh.
I have a page a day calendar on my desk that it's difficult for me to rip off the page to the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I forget to mark my calendar off, too.
I've been at this desk for hours today. I haven't changed it. It's still...
do it right now, Dan.
Okay. The page a day calendar is peanuts. The daily extra. Fun fact, a cat's ear contains 32 muscles. This peanuts cartoon for Thursday, March 14th, it is Marcy yelling at Peppermint Patty sitting on top of Snoopy's doghouse with Snoopy. Panel one, Marcy yells, sir, if you don't come down, I'm going to drag you down. And then panel two, she is doing just that, pulling Peppermint Patty by the sandaled foot while Peppermint Patty holds on to Snoopy for dear life, going, "Hey, let go." And then in the next frame, it's more pulling action. Snoopy is now bowled over. We only see his legs up in the air and his little tail. And then the doghouse is in a interesting position that I don't think it's ever been in before. And she goes, "Let go, Marcy. You're pulling the whole house down." And then frame four, more pulling, more action. The doghouse is totally destroyed, basically. And Peppermint Patty yells, "Marcy, you're destroying Chuck's guest cottage. Marcy, let go, Marcy." And Snoopy thinks,
"That's funny.
Good grief.
Oh, can I see?"
This is good for this audio medium that I'm holding up.
Beautiful. It's image. Very cute. Thank you.
And that is from 1974, March 16th, 1974.
Very cute. That's very cute.
Thank you for listening to this reading of a newspaper comic on a podcast. Come back next week for Heathcliff, the cat.
I was going to say, I don't know that one.
Tom runs into Meredith, Kate Blanchett again. She is in Rome. She knows him as Dickie. And he goes to the opera with her and her family. But who does he run into? But Marge.
Poor, sad Marge.
And her very British friend, Peter Smith Kingsley.
Don't even get me started on the storyline with Peter.
Hey, it's got a... because of him, there's a great ending line to this movie.
I know.
Just
made me sad.
Jack Davenport plays Peter Smith Kingsley, who is Admiral James Norrington in the Pirates of the Caribbean series.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. The person who's supposed to marry... what? I can't think of her name right now.
Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley, yes.
Did we switch? Because why am I remembering these things and you're not?
I don't remember character names. I remember actors.
Oh, not me.
Well, Keira Knightley isn't her character name.
Well, I don't remember any names, so...
So then Tom rushes Meredith out and then rejects her, breaking her heart. He's got to be a dick now. His whole scheme is kind of falling apart at this point.
I would be so stressed if I was him. The way he has to part his hair back and forth. Ugh.
Right.
Too much work.
Part his hair back and forth. He goes out there. Meredith's family's in like some rich ass castle on the outside of Rome.
Too much to do. Too much to keep track of.
Freddy shows up to the apartment that apparently Dickie should be in, but Tom is there. And then the landlady commits the sin of calling Tom Dickie.
Dickie! How does she says in such a cute Italian Dickie! Accent. I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like so excited to see him.
She's so Nona, but unfortunately... she blew his cover.
You know what? I think that's going to be the next TikTok trend. Oh my God, you're so Nona.
She is. She's Nona coded.
Nona coded is my favorite pharmaceutical drug.
Oh. Yes.
So Ripley beats him to death with a bust.
Yep.
He busts him to death.
With a bust.
Oh, he bustin'.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Gen Z.
That was the whitest thing I've ever heard you say.
Yes. I'm hip with the youth.
Mm-hmm.
Sipping tea for real, for real.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Idge Bowl. There are two acronyms that I keep seeing on X, formerly Twitter, that I keep getting so confused by. Idge Bowl, IJBOL, which is I just burst out laughing.
I hate that. I'll always use LOL.
Yeah, and then OOMF, OOMF, which people are just shortening one of my friends to OOMF.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that either, but I've heard that one.
Because I read it, it's like when one of my friends goes wild at the club. I don't think I've ever seen a tweet that says that, but when OOMF goes wild at the club, who's OOMF? Like an Oompa Loompa?
Yes.
when my Oompa Loompa friend goes crazy at the club after working a 12-hour shift down at the chocolate factory.
Oh, you think their shifts are 12 hours? 18
after plus. Leaving their indentured servitude at the chocolate factory.
So the police find the body and they question Dickie, and then he forges a suicide note for him, claiming responsibility.
That one was
for
crazy.
Death.
That one was crazy.
Yeah. He's getting questioned. For some reason, the detective suspects him, but not hard enough.
He's like, maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see.
This is how Italian justice works. It's very slow, and nothing happens.
Oh, man.
So then he goes to Venice, where he runs into Peter again. And then Dickie's father arrives with a private detective.
That was
detective.
A jump scare for sure.
Yeah. He arrives with a private detective played by Philip Baker Hall. And Marge finds that Tom has Dickie's rings.
He did not come up with a... First of all, he tried to drop the towel
yes.
as a ploy to distract yes. her. We all know it. We all saw it happen. We all watched.
He wanted to show off his talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, well, not that talented if she couldn't get distracted by it.
No, she has the power of jewelry.
Mm-hmm. The power of love.
But right before Tom can kill her, which seems like his way of solving problems. Oops,
it
back
is,
into a corner. Somebody grab me a bust.
Literally.
Or an oar.
Oh my god, his hand bleeding through the robe.
Mm-hmm.
It was so nasty.
And
Peter not even caring. Peter just going along with it.
Yeah, he's caring. He's a caring partner.
Peter was blinded by the talented Mr. Ripley. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
For sure.
I would
I get
be
it.
Too.
Me too.
Yeah, you get it specifically.
Unfortunately, I think I would have passed away in the moment. Unfortunately, and then as a ghost, I'm like, crap.
Oh.
Man. Dang it.
Was it worth it, though?
No.
Like, ghost, you'd be like,
maybe.
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 So they both, or they get questioned by the private detective, and basically the detective is like, to Marge, you're stupid. You're done. You're crazy.
Yeah.
You're getting nothing.
That's when I remembered it was a period piece. When they start just crapping on her.
And they're like, nope, Dickie killed Freddy, and then he killed himself. That's what happened. That's the story.
Very sad. How very sad for
and
everyone.
And then they intend to bequeath a large portion of Dickie's trust fund to Tom to reward his loyalty and ensure his silence.
Yep.
I don't remember what the first line of the scene is where they're talking to Marge, but it's something so absurdly patriarchal.
Oh, it is. I can't remember either, but I think it was like something about essentially being like, this isn't for women. Get out of here,
yeah.
toots. Like,
yeah.
This is men's talk. Like,
your delicate composition might die if you hear this.
Literally. You can't hear this. You're already in a state of hysteria.
I think they did say something about hysteria.
Probably. It was very, very rude.
So, Tom's free and clear. He gets to live Dickie's lifestyle. They go on an ocean liner to Greece with Peter.
Mm.
They're lovers. Guess who else is on the boat? Dang.
If it isn't Ms., not Helen Mirren.
That's right. Lydia Tarr.
Mm-hmm.
Popping up. He kisses her. He's going to talk to her later.
Yeah, right.
Peter sees this, though. Uh-oh. More drama. There's only a matter of time before they run into each other, but he can't kill Meredith. She's with family. They would miss her.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then he apologizes to Peter for lying to him. And then as he is writing his journal, I think we hear him reading it as he's writing his journal. Tom is this. Tom is that. Tom is wonderful, loving, caring, confusing. Oh,
that one made me cry. Tom is beautiful. Tom is this. Mm-hmm. I was out here sobbing. I was like, he wants to be with you, but you're just going to kill him.
And then Tom is crushing me. Oh. Tom is crushing me. He strangles him. Goes back to the cabin. Boat sails away.
Very sad.
And that's The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh. Beautiful.
What a picture.
I liked it.
It's fun. It's just a fun movie.
I don't know if fun is the word I would use.
It's a blast and a half. It's like a summer camp.
Sure. I don't know what kind of summer camps you went to.
It's fun. They're in the same way that, like, this is like elevated One Tree Hill. It's so melodrama and this, like, absurd.
This is kind of Riverdale,
yeah, but like, okay, compared to Riverdale, Riverdale is like dollar
Riverdale
store
is Riverdale
this.
Yeah, hey, yeah, but hey,
what?
Nothing. I just enjoyed Riverdale for a while until it got crazy.
It's fun. It's all the performances are really good. It's basically two movies in one.
Yeah.
The first half with Jude Law and then the second half with Peter Smith Kingsley.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to say a downgrade, but kind of a downgrade. He's great actor, great performance, but just as a character. Dickie's so fun. Fun and fancy free. And Peter Smith Kingsley
is
like
wild and unhinged.
Yeah. Peter Smith Kingsley, he's too loving, too caring, too good for this world.
Truly, he's too nice. It made me cry.
And I think that we talked about this before, but the way this is shot, it's so beautiful. It's a feast for the eyes. Mm-hmm. Good soundtrack. Yeah. A feast for the ears.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful. It's just beautiful to look at.
Similar,
the costumes are beautiful.
Similar to me watching Rudy and wanting to live in 1960s Notre Dame. I want to live in 1960s Venice when I watch this. Are you kidding me?
It did look really luxurious, but I know a man would tell me, shut up, toots, and I don't have the energy for that. So I will not be joining you.
But they'd say it in an Italian accent, or even in Italian.
No, I don't care. You can't call me toots in a different language and think I'll be okay with it.
A toots.
No.
Shut up, a toots.
Oh, no.
It's still kind of fun.
It is fun, but not
try
on
saying
my
it.
No.
Shut up, a toots.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to start doing that. You're going to get me I'm going to get beaten because I'm going to be harassing people on the street going, shut up, a toots.
Dan's going to catch a case. Dan's going to catch a case.
I'm going to catch an oar. An oar, a bust, a hand. I'm done.
Cooked.
Audiences, when this came out, gave it a C+
on
CinemaScore.
Did they not realize they were seeing something beautiful and like a good piece of art?
Right?
I guess the average viewer doesn't love art films.
This isn't even an art film. It's so soap opera-y. It's just a well-made soap opera.
These aren't the people. These aren't the same people who watch Days of Our Lives.
That's
but
true.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a low rating, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree. There's only some trivia here. So originally, the scenes that are shot in New York, they were originally shot in Rome to be New York City, and then they were like, "This doesn't look like New York," so they just reshot it in New York.
No offense, but those two places look entirely different.
At the jazz club, Matt Damon actually sings My Funny Valentine. That's his singing voice.
I knew it because I said to Gage, I was like, is this, do you think him actually singing? He's like, well, he sings in that one movie. And I was like, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Do you know what one movie I'm talking about?
Euro Trip?
Yeah, that's the one.
But that's not him. Called. That's Lustra.
That's not him? So it is an actual person singing in that movie, not
yeah.
him.
Yeah, it's the band Lustra.
Fun fact about that movie, which I've never seen. A kid in my high school, whose name was Scott, used mm-hmm. to sing that song 24/7. And I had no idea what it was from or what it was.
Uh-huh.
But
so he was just going, I don't know that my girlfriend is flagrantly cheating on me.
Yeah, he did not have a real girlfriend, though. He was kind of weird.
Okay.
But
well, if you go around singing that 24/7, I feel like it's kind of implied.
Yeah. Sorry to put him on blast.
Sorry, Scott. We love you.
I'm sure he's grown up since then. We were not close when it happened. I don't really know him, but yeah.
Sounds like Scotty doesn't know. In this piece of trivia, I find absurd based on what they look like. Apparently, okay. Matt Damon lost 30 pounds to play Tom. If that's the case, he was
okay.
jacked. And Jude Law yeah. gained weight?
Oh. This feels incorrect.
Right? It feels like it would be the other way around. Because Jude Law is yeah. a beanpole.
He is. He's so skinny. Like, I feel like any skinnier and he would have looked sick.
Maybe he put on some muscle. Maybe he was just
yeah,
like...
Yeah, maybe they were both up in the gym.
Yeah.
Because Matt Damon's not exactly a skinny guy. Like, he's not fat, but he's not skinny.
No, he's kind of stocky-ish. He and I have similar-ish body mm-hmm. types and the same size hands.
Okay. And you're both pale.
Yes. I don't have his physique in this, but I mean, we have, like, similar shoulder size and stuff like that.
Yeah, no. I get you.
And faces. People see me and they see Matt Damon and they're like, I don't know who's who.
I, no offense, have never had that issue.
Oh my gosh,
but,
Will Hunting?
Sure, Dan.
Is that you?
Yep.
Are you Jesse Plemons, they say to me, and I say yes.
Oh my God.
Jude Law also broke his rib when they filmed his death scene in the boat.
That doesn't surprise me at all. They were going at it.
Yeah.
How did he break it? With the oar? Did somebody accidentally hit him?
I assume he hit the side of the boat.
Owie zowie. And those hurt, too.
Yeah. That's hard wood.
Yeah. Reasons why I would not be a good actual professional. If I so much as stubbed my toe mm-hmm. during a scene, it would be over. I'd be like, cut! I got a boo-boo.
Paper cut. Paper cut, stop
filming.
I fell
at work one day and just laid on the floor because I didn't know what else to do. So
Jesus.
It was,
you need
that was
a
rough,
life alert.
Okay? I fell and I just was like, I'm just going to stay here for 2 minutes. And then I got up and walked away. I don't think we have cameras in the basement, but if they do, somebody's got film of me laying on the floor at my work.
So Anthony Minghella, the director and writer, his movie before this was The English Patient, which won mm-hmm. Best Picture, and he won Best Director mm-hmm. for that. But he wanted to cast Tom Cruise as Tom Ripley.
Absolutely not.
He would have the manic part down.
Yeah.
And the intensity.
Yeah, because he's wackadoodle.
Yeah, but then also considered Christian Bale.
Okay.
I think two put together for this.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He would have been a good choice.
And I think most interestingly, Edward Norton.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know if he could do the fake clean cut enough to get the parents interested,
mm-hmm.
but he could do the skeeving. He's a mm-hmm. slippery little boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of slippery little boys, Anna, would this movie be better or worse or the same with Jonathan Taylor Thomas as Tom Ripley?
Oh, that transition made me want to take a shower. I hated that. I think it would be the same.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Okay.
I think he could do it.
Interesting. You think he's got that range, that versatility?
I think he does. I think he could have done it. I would love to see it. That's the movie I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
JTT?
Yeah.
I love you, JTT. I don't think it would be as good.
Oh, okay. He's a hater. Got it.
However, Jimmy Stewart. Now that.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Stewart as Dickie. Like young Jimmy Stewart. Ooh. I could see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if he can do the Playboy as much because he's so sincere. But yeah, old Jimmy Stewart is the dad. Either one. And then also, just this quote from Freddie, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Tommy, mm-hmm. How's the peeping? Tommy, how's the peeping? Tommy.
Also
Tommy,
great
Tommy,
line.
Tommy.
He had some good lines.
Right.
Sorry, I just leaned back really far, and then I remembered I have to talk into a microphone.
You need one of the Britney Spears mics.
I do. I like to, like, move.
On a scale of 1 to 5 bathtub games of chess, what do you give this?
I give it a 4. I really liked it. I don't know what to say. Like, having seen Saltburn.
Oh, God.
Hey, I liked that one too.
Mm-hmm.
And drawing comparisons, I think this is the tamer, more approachable version, and I really liked it.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Not just because it was a feast for the eyes, mm-hmm. a feast for the senses.
A feast for the
tongue.
Like,
I actually really enjoyed it. Yeah, because I was licking my lips. No, I thought they were all really well suited for these roles, and I really liked seeing the interactions that Tom had with all the friends. I did think after Dickie died, mm-hmm. realistically, did we need to bring a whole new person into the movie? Not really, but I get it, I guess.
Yeah, right.
I think it didn't have to be as long as it was, but I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah, I give it a 4.5 out of 5, but kind of for the same reason. Mm-hmm. It feels like two stories smashed together, which I haven't read the book. Maybe it flows better in the book, but it's just it gets a little long in the teeth.
Yeah. Well, if it's based on a book, they probably tried to cut it down, so it's probably long in the book, too, is what I'm thinking.
The real question is it long in the book?
Wink.
Talking about his
wink
penis.
With both eyes at the same
That's
time.
That's just blinking.
No, not on my watch.
That's it for this week's episode of In Conclusion. If you want to
wink
at us on social media with 3 eyes, we are on Facebook and Twitter at And In Conclusion, on Instagram at In Conclusion Podcast, at Patreon at patreon.com/In Conclusion. If you want to find me on social media, I am on Twitter at DanO'Keefe86. And and on TikTok at Not Dan O'Keefe. Anna, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at AutomusPrimate18. You can find me on Twitter at AutobotsRollout, capital O for auto, capital B for bots, capital R for roll, and the O in roll, and the O in out are zeros. Dan and I are also both on Goodreads, we just discovered.
Yes.
So follow us there.
Follow us on Goodreads. We read very different books.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Anna for the smut. And
hey,
follow
in my
me.
Defense, I'm reading a popular series.
Follow
it's a court
me
of thorns
for
and roses.
Public works. Books about highways and transit.
Oh my God. Dan, I'm glad you read them because somebody has to. But if I ever pick up a book like that, I'm probably ill and delusional.
Yeah, I'm ill. Illin. Chillin. Okay. Chillin on this bus. We'll be back next week talking about the spiritual sequel to Talented Mr. Ripley, Saltburn.
I can't wait. I'm scared already. Seen it before, and I'm scared to watch it again.
In the meantime, everybody, stay safe, have fun, and clean your bathtub drains. Bye-bye.
Oh, Lord. Bye. This book, I feel like I'm going to catch an STD from reading it.